2 Timothy chapter 3, if you would, please. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I've been enjoying going through the book of 2 Timothy. We kind of began in the middle of chapter 2 at the beginning of the year, if you could believe that. We've been going through this idea of study to show thyself approved unto God. And as we continue to do that, by the way, you do understand that there were, when these letters were written, there were not necessarily chapter and verse delineations, okay? And so this is a continuing thought as Paul is sharing his heart with his son in the faith, Timothy. And by the way, not just to him, but to us also in this day and time today. Well, let's go ahead and stand, if you're able, out of love and respect for the Word of God. 2 Timothy and chapter 3, we are going to begin in verse 10 and read down through the end of the chapter. 2 Timothy and chapter 3, and we'll begin together in verse 10 and read the even verses together out loud. I'll read the odd verses by myself, and we'll go through the end of the chapter. Let's begin together in verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. We've been studying here in 2 Timothy, and by the way, I want you to realize and understand that the author of this book was a well-educated man. All right? The Apostle Paul, and his level of education, I dare say would surpass any level of education that you or I have, especially concerning the scriptures. All right? And I can say that as a Bible college graduate. All right? And by the way, if you wanted to know, I have graduated from Bible college. That should be a good thing to you, I hope, that you think that. And not only with one degree, but two bachelor's degrees. So, that's a good thing, right, to have in your back pocket if you ever need it, right? And things like that. But can I tell you something? Compared to what the Apostle Paul had under his belt, if you will, or in his back pocket, his back pocket was loaded. All right? This guy has the pedigree and the credentials of someone to listen to and someone to, if you will, revere or honor or respect what he has to say. And so he's talking to a young man that needs to learn, needs to grow, needs to develop his skills and his abilities, and he needs to find out some things and needs to be encouraged and strengthened in areas of his life. And by the way, isn't that where we all are? We need that. And I don't care if you've been saved just a year or less than a year, or if you've been saved for less than 5 years or less than 10 years or less than 20 years or 30 years. Whatever the case may be, this past summer, I was saved in the summer of 1985. Okay, that was a little while ago, right? Some of you are like, no, I was married in 1985. That's great. Oh, good for you. I was just a kid, okay? So you understand that, but yeah, that's quite a few years, right? 40 years. And so, so please understand that, 40 years is a long time to be saved, but folks, I haven't achieved anything really. If you have the correct perspective, right? Now, I shouldn't be a babe in Christ anymore, right? Everybody okay with that? Shouldn't be a 40-year-old baby. Huh? Yeah, I should have some maturity to me as a Christian, some knowledge and some understanding, etc. And so please understand that we have a process, we have a something we can be assured of. Look at what Paul says in the text today. He says this in verse 14, toward the end he says, let's just read verse 14. That's our text verse anyways today. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. And then the last part, he says, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And folks, so we have a basis. And I just want to express today, there's a reason why I'm an old-fashioned Bible preaching, Bible teaching, fundamental Baptist. There's a reason, because I know of whom I have learned some things. And by the way, that's part of the studying process. Don't just believe anything you read, see, or hear. And let me warn you a little bit further. Don't even just believe it just because an independent Baptist said or spoke it or published it or whatever. And we're going to get, of course, into this tonight a little bit more in ways we talk about music. But just because a music group from an independent Baptist church sings something doesn't make it okay. And guess what? Just because you say it's not okay doesn't make you a hate monger. We've got to be careful. You know what? If God says we're supposed to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, does that just pertain to the Bible? I don't think it does. What does Paul say in verse 10? He says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine. That pertains to the Bible. Then he says this, my manner of life. This is Timothy, the way I live. He says also, my purpose. Timothy, I've been faithful in my purpose. When you see Paul, do you see he has a purpose? Oh boy, yes. Just read through the book of Acts, read through his epistles, right? What was Paul's purpose every time he went somewhere? Give out the gospel. To the what? Jew first and also to the Greek. Okay. He was exemplary in his purpose. He said, my faith, Timothy, you've seen my faith. Folks, listen. Anybody want to say that Paul's faith was small? I don't think so. Well, one of my favorite passages is when they're out there on that ship, right? He told the master of the ship not to go out into those waters at that time of year. And then he basically, in a very nice way, he just looked at him and said, I told you so. when they're in the middle of Eurocladon. I love that name. Isn't that a fun name? Yeah. Many believe it was some sort of a hurricane, right? Some kind of a storm like that. But it had a name, Eurocladon. That's a pretty cool name. I like it. Maybe name my next child that. Eurocladon. Now, anyways, don't laugh. I think it would be a great name for a kid. Maybe my first grandchild, Eurocladon. So we have all these things and he's there. And then he says, look, guys, an angel appeared to me. And nobody's going to be lost. And what is the most, one of the most famous things we hear from Paul? I believe God. Now, is that not great faith? Yeah. He's like, if you just do what I say, not one life will be lost. God told me that. And I believe him. So he tells Timothy, look, my faith, Timothy. Hey, my long-suffering. Boy, was Paul long-suffering? Yes, he was. When he went in there and labored teaching in the synagogues, right? Do you think that was hard for him to do? It was. Those were his people. And by the way, we know in Scripture that Paul had such a heart for the Jews, he would have given up his own salvation if it would have meant that they would believe. And so, his long suffering. And by the way, when he was allowed to come in and speak in these synagogues, he was met by much opposition. And sometimes they would chase him around out of town, and then they would try to chase him out of the next town when he ended up there. And that takes long suffering. That takes patience. He says, by long suffering, and by the way, long suffering, charity and patience can kind of all be lumped together in the same connotation of benevolence or goodwill toward man. Paul was willing to endure some things so that others could be saved. That's long suffering. That's charity. He was willing to give up what he had, give up his freedom, give up his liberties, give up his very life for others. That's ultimate charity. And his patience. Oh boy, he had patience. Maybe above measure patience. But he told Timothy, look, Timothy, you've seen what I have lived and how I've lived, and you've seen my life. You know me, Timothy. And by the way, folks, we have something called history. Can I tell you something? You can look up the history of the Catholics. You can look up the history of Buddhists. You can look up the history of Muslims. You can look up the history of Pentecostals, of Episcopalians, of Methodists, of Lutherans, of Mormons, of Jehovah's Witnesses. Folks, we have history. You can look up the history of the Baptists. So you tell me which group you'd like to follow. By the way, I've looked up the history of these groups. You know which one I choose to follow? The Baptists. You know why? Because of what they've always believed. And you know what? I know this may sound a little cynical, but I'm kind of glad the church out front here in Wiley changed its name. Now, I'm kind of sad it changed its name too. Because that means they're no longer following what Baptists have always believed. Because guess what? If you're not Baptist, don't put it on your sign. Just advertise what you really are. Okay? Makes sense. But can I tell you something? Paul is saying, Timothy, you know what I've been through. You know who I am. You've seen my body of work. Remember, we had this message about the gallery and the artist and all those things last time. But can I tell you something? It's more than just knowing of whom you've learned something. Knowing what you've learned, and next week we're going to talk more about the scriptures as we kind of start to wrap up this idea of study to show ourselves approved. But don't be afraid to not just study the Word of God, but to study the people that say they follow the Word of God. Paul said the people in the people in Berea were more noble than the people of Thessalonica because they searched the scriptures whether these things were so. So, yes, they were students of the scriptures, but they were also students of the preacher. They were studying the preacher. Preacher, are you saying what's true and what's right? Are you staying in line with what the Bible says? And by the way, if a preacher doesn't stay in line with what the Bible says, maybe that preacher ought not be preaching. So Paul is making an example of himself. He's saying, Timothy, look at me. But not to the point of his pride to say, look at me, I'm special. But to the point to say, I'm on a solid foundation. I've just been enamored with what Brother Raspberry said 2 weeks ago about what he wrote down about why he chose the name Lighthouse for this church. And I just love it because he said it's got to have the right foundation. A lighthouse has to have a firm and right foundation. Folks, that's so true. That's why our foundation is the Word of God. And every teacher and every preacher and every member ought to have this as the final authority in their life. Folks, we all have to have this as our authority. This all has to be our final authority. This all has to be our foundation. This has to be what we build our own lives on. The lives of our families, the lives of our relationships, the lives of our businesses, the lives of our finances, the lives of our manner of life, of our purpose, of our faith, of our long suffering, of our charity, of our patience, all has to be here. And it says it has to stand tall. Remember that? Stand tall. I'm tired of Christians being covert Christians, undercover Christians. Nobody knows they're a Christian. They're just sneaking around like little Christian ninjas. Nobody can see them in the background, you know? It's like, no. I'm supposed to stick out like a sore thumb. I'm supposed to be visible. I'm supposed to be seen. People should see me doing Christian things. And so they scratch their head and say, why did that guy do that? And how about this? If somebody comes up and slaps you in the face, what is the normal reaction of any human being in this world? Right? Give them one back. But when you don't do that, they look at you and say, huh? Right? Yeah. And that's what Christians need to do. Then he says we need to shine bright. Folks, we've got to shine and reflect the light of our Savior. And guess what? Something that reflects well is something that's clean, not dirty. So, just today, that was all introduction. Not bad. 20-minute introduction. Look at verse 14. We've been talking about studying. Remember, it's a labor. It's an endeavor. It's something that we should be doing diligently. Right? It's something that we should be doing earnestly. And then let me just add to that, if you will, it's something we should be doing continually. Not stopping. Not departing from. So Paul tells Timothy to study to show thyself approved unto God. He tells him and he warns him about the other things, the things to avoid, the things to follow, the things to leave out of his life, the things to put into his life. He says, Timothy, there's a great example right in front of you. You know me. You've seen me. You've experienced me in action, reflecting Jesus Christ, standing on a firm foundation, standing tall, shining brightly. You've seen these things in my life, and now I want you to continue on. Remember what Paul said at the end of his life? Just look over to the next chapter. He says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. So he tells Timothy, look, I have continued. I want you to continue. He says, my time is ending. Your time is just beginning, or you're in mid-progress of your life, and I want you to stay on course. Let me just tell you, Lighthouse Baptist Church, we've had a wonderful 25 years here. And we've got to stay on course. Continue thou in the things. Now, I love this because this is how I talk. You know, hey, son, bring me that thing, that thing over there. You know, the Duzumo, what's it? The thingamabob. That gizmo. You know, how many of you talk like that, fathers? Any fathers talk like that? Okay, any mothers talk like that? Okay. All right? I mean, he just says, Timothy, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. And folks, let me tell you something. We need to continue in these things. We have a wonderful heritage. You know, it goes back further than the Raspberry family. It goes back further than the Bob Smith family. It goes back further to those that reached Dr. Smith's family, and to those that reached their families, and to those that reached their families, and by the way, you can go back and read through Mr. B.H. Carroll's findings of the Trail of Blood and the people that have always been known as Baptists, not necessarily by that name, but by that body of work, that body of doctrine, that body of practice. And let me just say something to you. It's okay to tell your children, hey, we don't do that because we are Baptists. We don't go to movie theaters. We don't go to bars. We don't buy these kinds of things. We don't participate in these kinds of activities. We don't say these kinds of words. We don't listen to this kind of music. Folks, it's okay. Because those are the things that we've learned. By the way, I tell my little kids all the time. I tell my big kids sometimes. We don't talk that way. You know, they're going to hear things out there. And it's okay to tell them those things aren't for us. You understand that in our human flesh, we are cursed, we're depraved. And our body craves the things of this world. And it's okay to say, no. No, we're going to continue in the things that we know are right and true. We're going to continue in the things that follow what God says we're supposed to do. You know, God says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. You know, Paul just got done telling Timothy, look, if you're going to call upon the name of God, you need to depart from iniquity. You need to avoid some foolish and unlearned questions. And you need to be careful about these people that creep into houses. And they're corrupt and they're reprobate concerning the faith. And you need to watch out. But you've seen my life. You've seen my example. And you need to continue in these things. Over in 1 Timothy chapter 4, if you want to flip over a couple pages. Beginning in verse 6, Paul tells Timothy, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. He said, Timothy, you've reached a level. You've reached a level of good doctrine. If you put them in remembrance of it, it'll be good for them too. Well, I like that hymn we sing, right? That old time religion. It was good for our fathers. It was good for our fathers. It was good for our fathers. It's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old-time religion.
Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me.
Folks, if it was good for the first century church, why can't it be good for us? And by the way, let me just put the converse to you. If it wasn't good for them, why do we think it's good for us? You know, we have a problem where we get this idea that, oh, that happened to them, but it won't happen to me. You know, how many of you have to fight against pests and rodents in your homes, right? Anybody have to keep that battle up? Okay, yeah, it's a perpetual battle for us as well. We have chickens and rabbits, and it's funny that the rodents like to eat the same food that the chickens and rabbits eat. Okay? So that means it's just a natural draw for them, I suppose. But you know what I love? I love the fact that rodents don't seem to have an understanding. Oh, look, Bob just ate that yellow brick of stuff there. He walked like three steps and fell over dead. Let me go try it. You know? Right? Why are we so dumb? Oh, no, they went over and had a taste of the world, and look at there, they got killed. It won't happen to me. Stupid. Sorry, I guess I'm not sorry. Why? He tells Timothy, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Folks, we need to continue in the things that we've learned. God is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We're supposed to be separated. The Word of God is to be our foundation. The local church is the vehicle that the bride of Christ that God is using to work in this world. Folks, there are doctrinal things that Baptists have always believed, that we say we believe, that we need to pass on to our children, and we need to continue in them, not depart from them. Because we know of whom we've learned them from. We can see the history. It's sure. It's true. It's right. And why do we need something different? We don't need anything different. We just need to continue in these things. He says, we've learned them from people. We've been assured of them from certain places and certain people. He says, we know of whom we've learned them. These are constant truths. These are things that are sure things. The doctrine that we follow. The Christian life that we live. Take your Bibles and turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Look at verse 9. Peter writes and says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people. He says, folks, listen, you are the people of God. You have a manner of life. You have a purpose. You have a faith. You have long suffering. You have charity. You have patience. You have all these attributes that you're supposed to be displaying. He says that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Look at the transformation. He said, in which in time past were not a people. Folks, there was a time where we were not what we were supposed to be. But now we are a people of God, which had not obtained mercy. So there was a time in our lost condition that we were under the condemnation of God. Already, right? We were already dead in our trespasses and sins. But now we have obtained mercy. He says, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts. Now, it seems like we've heard that before, right? What did Paul say? Flee also youthful lusts. It says, which war against the soul. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, that's that being visible thing, right? Standing up and being visible, glorify God in the day of visitation. Now, if you'd like to flip over to Ephesians chapter 2, as we're transformed by the saving power of Christ, for by grace, verse 8, are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Right? Free gift, eternal life, transformation, not of people, now of people, not obtained mercy, now have obtained mercy. To what end, folks? Living a Christian life, a clean life, a pure life, a life of good works, is important. And guess what? It's not just good enough that you did it for the last 10 years. You need to do it tomorrow. And the next day. And the next day. And the next day. And the next day. What is that? Continue thou in the things. Look what it says in verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. What's the next phrase? Unto good works. Gesundheit. Which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Guess what? Walking in them. Guess what that means? Stay on course. To stay in the path. Not to go to the left hand. Not to go to the right hand. But to rather continue thou in the right way of living. Folks, we need to continue in the right doctrine. We need to continue in the right living. We don't need to let anything keep us from that path. It has to be something we do today. It has to be something we do tomorrow. If you want to break it down even further, we can be doing it right now in this hour, the 12 o'clock hour, and then we need to be doing it in the 1 o'clock hour, and the 2 o'clock hour, and the 3 o'clock hour, and the 4 o'clock hour. Right? Now, the easy part should be when we're sleeping. Hopefully. I'm just saying, folks, that we've got to continue in the things. Why? Because we've been bought with a price. We've been paid for. God is our creator, not only, in, if you will, initially, but also that second time in the new birth. We've been born again. There's no reason why we shouldn't continue in these things. He says that he should continue in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, and knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And as we continue in doctrine, we continue in Christian living, we should also continue in times of persecution. Guess what? How many of you have ever, don't raise your hand, but just think about this. How many of you have ever wanted to quit because something was too hard? Let me ask a follow-up question. How many of you actually did quit because something was too hard? And I'll be fair, how many of you did not quit even though you wanted to quit because something was too hard? Do you see? I'm sure there's a mixture of those three combinations in our own lives, right? But can I tell you something? Don't quit because it gets too hard. I mean, how would it appear in the Bible if Job would have quit and not maintained his integrity and Satan won that argument? What would it look like? How about this? What if Jesus would have quit? Do you think that you've experienced anything harder than Jesus experienced? No. Not even close. Aren't you glad he didn't quit? Paul said, I didn't quit. Right? Hey, folks, we've got to maintain, we've got to continue, we've got to stay on course, even in persecution. He says this, look at verse 11. Persecutions, afflictions, right? All these things. And over in Corinthians, he gives a whole list, right? Beaten with rods, imprisoned, deaths, night and day in a deep, all the things that came upon him. And he says what? Out of them all, the Lord delivered me out of them all. Folks, we've got to realize that persecutions are going to come. Look at verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. He goes on in verse 13 and 14. In verse 13 to tell Timothy that evil men and seducers, they're going to get worse. Not only are they going to deceive others, they're going to be even further deceived themselves. And then he says, but continue thou in the things. Hey folks, guess what? Doesn't James tell us that we should count it all joy? Right? Doesn't Romans tell us that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose? Doesn't God tell us that in His sight, the death of His saints is I'm just telling you, we got this thing backwards sometimes. We think that when difficult things come, we just throw up our hands. We just give up. Master, carest thou not that we perish? He does care, folks. These things are in our lives. He's told us they're going to come. And we cannot quit. We must continue in the things. We've seen people go through it before. We have it written down. We have examples for admonition in the scriptures. We must continue. We must continue.